Okay, so figuring out the question with hypospadias, where you have the hole coming out of the bottom of the aver instead of coming from the front tip, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that if it doesn't shoot straight, the Beis Shmuel, I'm sorry, explains that this person would be a Kris Shafcha and would be possible to marry a Jewish woman because it's not the Zera is not shooting straight out in a way that it could impregnate a woman. It's just dripping down. And therefore, because it's dripping down, that's going to be the psul, because it doesn't have the ability to impregnate a woman, that's the psul daraisa of Kris Shafcha. Now, if that's the case, then how wide does this hole have to be to make the person a Kris Shafcha? If a person has a tiny hole, let's say they were nicked by a thorn, let's say they were punctured, there was some, I don't know, they were crocheting something, or working with a needle, or working with a syringe, and they were supposed to give them a Oh, yes, Dr. Jedwab. Perfect. We hear you loud and clear. Thank you so much. So the first question that we have for you is, the Beis Shmuel told us that a person who has, let's talk about hypospadias, if I don't know if it's a, let's assume it's hypospadias, and the zera, instead of coming straight out the front, will be dripping out from the bottom. So the Beis Shmuel says that that's problematic because we'll not be able to impregnate the woman. From your experience, is that the case, or is it possible that even somebody who has a hole on the bottom? Okay, but fundamentally, if it's farther from the tip, then it will be problematic. Okay, so we'll have to see. Let's say it's right below the corona, meaning it's not from the corona outwards, but from the corona at the begin, close. That would be the problem. Okay, so there is what the Beis Shmuel is saying. It does make sense. Okay, so we're gonna work with that. Now, based on this, we have another question, and that's the next line of the Beis Shmuel. How wide does this hole have to be? Meaning, let's say the person doesn't have hypospadias; they have the regular hole at the tip of their aver, and they could urinate and it goes straight. They could be bring out zera, it goes out straight. But they have a hole also. They were injured, let's say, by a thorn, punctured them on the shaft, or let's say they were trying to give the, I don't know, they're diabetic and giving themselves a shot, and a needle they missed, their hand slipped, and a needle punctured their aver, and they now have a hole. How wide does that hole have to be to render the person a Kris Shafcha? Says the Beis Shmuel, based on what we said, you could figure out the answer. Mishum hachi, shir hanekev, the width of this orifice that's been created, who? When will it be possible? Kishe'efshir lotzeis min a shichva zera. If it's wide enough that the shichva zera, instead of shooting forward, will fall out of this hole and not make it out of, through the front tip, then you'll have the problem of that we're describing. Because the whole psul that we're worried about is that the zera is not able to shoot out, it's going to just drip down. So in this case, that it's dripping down, it's wide enough to drip down, it's going to be possible. If, however, it's a very a small hole, let's say the size of a, I don't know how big the hole needs to be in terms of millimeters, but if, let's say, there was a somebody, again, slipped with their syringe for their diabetic insulin shot, and they missed, and they got their aver, and not a good miss, they should, not a good miss, but if that would happen, maybe the syringe needle is very thin. And it's too thin that any shichva zera would actually come out of that. Maybe even if there would be a hole, the person would not be possible, because anyway, shichva zera will not fall out of that, and therefore it could still continue through the front, through the front opening, and that will be kosher. Okay, now let's take one step forward and talk about what happens if a person has a hole in the wrong place. As I understand, and I'm sure that the Joe has been involved with these kinds of surgeries, if somebody has hypospadias, they do a surgery when the child is, I don't know, 18 months. That the Jedwab, is that the normal time frame for the? So if it's possible, they sometimes wait even till they're 2, 3 years old if they can? Okay, great. So when the surgery, now what is the surgery? The surgery, just takes the urethra and reroutes it, and they plug up the hole with something. Okay, now what do you do to plug up the hole that's there? Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about right now. What happens if the hole that made the child, you know, a puzzle, if we plug it up? So let's assume you're talking about that. The job was talking about regular hypospadias where there's no hole at the tip and the hole is on the bottom. Let's say there's a hole at the tip, but there also was some kind of puncture along the shaft, a second hole that makes this person puzzle, makes the person problematic. But we plug up the hole. Can it be fixed? Can you repair somebody who has this hole? Will that make the person no longer kris shafcha? So we just magically change the person's halachic status. A day ago, you know, sort of, you can't do that with a mamzer. Once a guy's a mamzer, he's a mamzer forever. However, this child person who has a hole, he just became asur lava bakal. He's not allowed to marry a regular Jewish girl. If I take some, I don't know, chewing gum, or whatever, you know, plaster of Paris or whatever else the doctors use to plug up that hole. I know they don't use chewing gum. I hope they don't use chewing gum. And they plug up that hole, and now the zera is not going to drip down through the hole. We'll go through the proper hole at the tip. Is that going to be okay? Look at what the Aruch HaShulchan comments. V'chein, im nista machmas refuash asulo. They did some kind of surgical intervention, and they were able to plug up the hole. Lo chai shinon listira. We're not worried that it's going to open up again, and it's going to be kosher. However, look what he says. If the hole heals on it, closes up on its own, again, let's say somebody punctured it, and they didn't do a medical intervention, it just grew over itself, and the hole closed up, and now he has his regular hole at the tip where it's supposed to be, but the hole on the bottom of the shaft, where the zera might have been dripping out of, healed on its own, says the Aruch HaShulchan, we have to be nervous that it might not be a solid plug, and it might open up and drip out, and therefore the person has not been healed from his halachic status of kris shafcha. But what if the doctor tells you, yes, it healed on its own, he didn't need our interventions to plug up, to put our medical chewing gum, it just plugged up on itself, it just, you know, the body healed itself? Could we rely on his promise, on the doctor's promise, that it is not going to open up anymore? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, yes, we listen to doctors. We listen to doctors even for things more important than the Isser D'Oraisa of Kris Shafcha. For example, says the Aruch HaShulchan, nearly, Sheyesh Lismach B'zeh Al Divrei HaRofim, Kishe'omrim Shenistam HaNekev V'lo Yisparik. If the doctors say that it plugged up and it ain't going to open up again, don't worry about it opening, it's not going to open up again, you could rely on those doctors. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, because this is only an Isser D'Oraisa. If you have an expert doctor, you have a urologist, so we'd rely on an expert doctor even for Yisurei Kares. I assume he means like Hilchas Nida and stuff like that. Certainly, we'd rely on a doctor when it comes to something that's less than a Kares. Only a Losa say, like the Isser of Kris Shafcha, if the doctor says it's not going to open up, it's not going to drip, then we could rely on this doctor. Next. Let's talk about this hole. So again, let's imagine a person, a kid was, somebody was going on a hike, they were in a bathing suit and they were swimming in the river, and a thorn from a passing bush while they were in the river, canoeing, kayaking, whatever it was, a passing bush punctured them on the shaft and they had a hole. How deep does the puncture have to be problematic? So I'll tell you what I would say. Based on the lumdus that we were taught by the Beis Shmuel, if the whole reason for the psul is that the zera is going to drip out and not go the way it's supposed to, I would say very simply, how deep does the hole have to be? Deep enough to reach the tube where the zera is traveling through. I believe that's the urethra. So if it goes deep enough that it punctures the interior of the aver, it gets the urethra where the zera would be supposed to be traveling straight, and because of this hole now it drips down, that should be the problem. But look what the Aruch HaShulchan brings from some of the Rishonim. You see, we have holes elsewhere in Halacha that mess people up. Not in terms of Kris Shafcha, but a person or an animal, lahavdil, could become a trefa, if they have holes or puncture wounds in various limbs in their body. What are the parameters of those puncture wounds that render a person or an animal a treifa? Right? Let's say there's a hole. I don't want to talk about lungs. That's a little more complicated. Let's say, an animal swallowed a pin, and there was a pin in the digestive system, and a pin, punctured something along the digestive tract. So how deep or what kind of hole will render the person a treifa? Says Aruch HaShulchan, Pisul shel nekev, hu kishemagia ad hachalal shel gid, until it reaches the interior region of the shaft, just like we see kumo nikve treifos bebehema ubaof, debinan o nekev me'ever le'ever o ad chalal shel ever. You need to go till the inside. So let me give you an example. Let's talk about a lung. If we want to talk about the psul of a hole in the lung, what does a hole mean? A hole means it has to puncture the width of the wall and enter the interior, the cavity. Meaning most organs, I don't want to say every organs, because some organs are just a mass, but many organs are tubes or, let's call it a balloon. There's a coating and then there's a hole inside. So if you have an intestine, there's the wall of the intestine, and then the space inside the intestine. To become a trepha, in Hilchus Trephus, you need that the puncture wound has to go through the intestinal wall, enter the cavity. Oh, once it enters the cavity, then it is rendered a trepha. Similarly, suggests the Aruch HaShulchan, the hole that we're talking about here should be a hole that would enter, that would puncture from the outside. A needle or a thorn, God forbid, would puncture outside, and not just get into the wall of the aver, of the man's body, man's organ, but go into the interior part till it gets to that interior space. Again, there's not so much space there, but it hits the urethra, as he says explicitly, aval kishmagia, when the hole or the puncture wound reaches lachalol to that space, pogea hanekev bihil chazera, it will affect the flow of the zera shebechalal in that urethra veshoses, it will drip down from the hole and the person will not be able to have children. Fine. Now, Rabosai, this is just for fun. The Gemara tells us that there is a refua for a kris shafcha, for somebody as a hole, and the Gemara says that if somebody wants to seal up the hole that was punctured in along the shaft, there is a refuah. You know what you could do? Again, I assume nowadays we have more modern technology, but the Gemara already suggests a way to plug up a hole that's been formed. And the hole is like, and the way it's done is like this. Again, this is more for entertainment than for halacha. But Gemara Shem Huva Refuah the following way, Listam Hanekev. You know what you do? Likach Seora, take a barley. I don't know what he means. He might just mean something sharp, maybe like a barley. You know, it's hard at the edge of the barley. I don't know what he means about a barley. Velisot, but scratch. Take this barley or some pointy object and scratch around the hole on the shaft. There's a hole that shouldn't be there. Scratch around it. What happens when it scratches? It's going to bleed. What happens when something bleeds? What's that, Bearish? You get a scab, exactly, and that's exactly what we want. Kadeshi Yotzi Dam via glia. Ya glia means it will coagulate, it will scab. Saviv Hanekev. Right around that hole, it will form a scab. If you draw enough blood on all the sides, the scab will sort of form around it. Umitoch kach, and that way it will mala arucha, it will be covered over. Now, we didn't get to the fun part yet. Then, viavi nimala gadola. The Gemara says you bring a big ant. I know in medicine they sometimes use slugs to do things like this. Ulahaniach rosh hasham, and you put a big ant right over there. Not pleasant. Don't even try to think about it because you have nightmares. Vinoshechas, and it bites around there. Vinidbak rosha, and it sticks. Its head gets stuck. You chop off that. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara gives a very creative way to heal this hole. Without getting into the gory details of how to do it, of course, the Aruch HaShulchan says we don't follow the refuos in the Gemara. HaPosken lo hiviu is that the reason why the posken don't cite this refuah, this medical technique from the time of the Amoraim, is ein anu bekiyam b'chol harefuos shebishas. And similarly, we can't compare one nekev to another nekev, one basar to other, but we can't compare things. We don't know exactly how the body works, which parts of the body and the refuas of the shas are not things that we could rely upon, but I just wanted to share that with for entertainment purposes. Yes, Berish. You're asking a great question. What you're asking is if I could say, you're sort of dashing time at the crow. You're saying, if the Torah says it's an Issa D'oraisa, of Kris Shavcha, and we assume the reason for the Issa of Kris Shavcha is because you can't impregnate a woman, asks Beirish, so I could take care of the reason. I could rid myself of that reason and impregnate a woman using IVF, in vitro fertilization. Actually, I don't even need IVF. You could use IUI, intrauterine insemination, which doesn't, you don't even need a test tube. Take the man's zera, put it in a syringe, shoot it up the woman's body, and straight into her fallopian tubes and impregnate her that way with his zera. So I hear what you're saying, but I think you're darshin and taima dekra, and you're not licensed to do that. You're allowed to fix it, right? You're allowed to fix it because you're no longer kris shavcha. Meaning, if a person has the hole and they're going to be dripping from the aver and not being able to pregnant with a woman, he's a kris shavcha. When you plug up the hole with chewing gum, you're not a kris shavcha anymore. So you're not the person who's also lava bakal. So I don't know if it would. That's a great question. We're going to see. If somebody has such an accent, will they have to divorce their wife? Yes, accents do happen. Okay, so right, so we'll have to see. We're going to get into that in the Achronim. It doesn't matter. This is an Issa D'oraisa of who if he's kosher to marry her. He's a kris shavcha. So it's not a matter of her rights. This is not a question of her what her rights are. You're saying that she has the right to demand a divorce. Well, I mean, it depends if a man's whole aver was chopped off with, God forbid, with a chainsaw. So if it was chopped off with a chainsaw and he can't fulfill the mitzvah of ona, they're still married. They're allowed to be married. He's just not able to perform the mitzvah of ona, and she could demand a get, and the basement will force them to get divorced. We understand that. Here we're talking about something much more subtle, where there was just an injury. Let's say he still has his aver intact, but there's an injury that a slice in a certain, or a slice, a puncture that you know just happened to jut till the urethra, and there's a zera dripping out, so he won't be able to impregnate her. He could still fulfill the mitzvah of ona, but not able. Well, that's what we're talking about. Oh, you're saying if there's an iser bia, that will create the inability to fulfill ona. Oh, okay. So, no, if the person is a kris shavcha, then lo yavo b'kahal Hashem would probably be an iser bia. This is a machlokas rishonim. I had a shayla a few weeks ago. I can't share the details with, but a shayla a few weeks ago of a potential mamzer case. It ended up not being the case, but there was a question, potential mamzer situation, and I remember I spoke to Rav Schechter about this, and he pointed out that if the person is indeed a mamzer, if they're going to get married anyway, they're not going to listen to Rabbi Orlean, so let them live to, if they're going to ignore Rabbi Orlean, they're going to do what they want, they don't care. They love each other, they're whatever, they don't really care, so let them not get married. Because there's some Rishonim hold that the Isser of Mamzeris is an Isser Nisu, an Isser of the marriage. And if you're married, it could be a Shita Tarambam. So if you're married, then it's Isser. But if you never marry her, just live with her, you won't have the Isser of Mamzeris. So that happens to be, because that's not Baal B'Kal Hashem. The Isser of Mamzeris and the Isser of Kol Shavcha we're learning this week is one and the same. They're both the same Isser of Lo Yavo B'Kal Hashem, Lo Yavo Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, and the Pasuk right before there's Lo Yavo Kris Shavcha. Bekalashem. So it's really one and the same. So again, if this happens to a person, do they have to get divorced? We'll see more. But let's hold that off. Now, let us come to the point of this whole shiur, which is going to be the next point where we have to... What we just learned is that if a person has a hypospadias situation, that he has a hole that's too low on the shaft, or has an extra hole too low on the shaft, that the zera won't go straight into her and will just drip down and not be able to impregnate a woman, that could be a problem of kushafcha. So does that mean if somebody does not get a hypospadias repair, does that mean that that kid is going to be usur to marry? So Rabosai, I have a very important sif in Shulchan Aruch that I have to share with you. We're going to skip from sif, I think we're in sif dal or hey, we're going to skip now to sif yud. And this is going to introduce to us a very important point that's going to shed light on a lot of different issues that come up in this area of halacha, specifically when it comes to, we talked about, you know, nowadays, today we were talking about hypospadias, but we started 2 weeks ago talking about testicular cancer. If a person has a testicle removed for cancer reasons, so that's petsua daka. That's also the same problem. What we're going to see right now might shed light and maybe even give a solution to a number of real case medical shilas, and that is the following. Let's learn the Gemara Yevam Estef Ayin Hay. This line is going to save the day. Gemara Yevam Estef Hay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Pitzua Daka Bidei Shamayim Kosher. We're going to define that soon. But a Pitzua Daka, somebody who has his testicles crushed, and we saw all these things are related, crushed or the vas deferens was cut, and the zera can't flow from where it comes from, you know, through the aver out of the person. If the situation was bidei shamayim, which I have to carefully translate, you'll see why, because it's going to be complicated in a minute. If it's bidei shamayim, such a person is not possible. We're only talking about things that happen from, let's talk about injuries. Where do you get this? The Torah says that a petsua daka is somebody who has crushed testicles or his genitalia is impaired, harmed, is possible to marry. It's only if it's possible. It's only if this occurred bidei shamayim. If it was a natural illness, I can't even say the word illness. We'll see what the words bidei shamayim means. How do we see this? Two sources in the pasuk. Amarava, hayna dekrinan petsua v'lo krinan ha-petsua. When the Torah tells us that a petsua daka is off limits, can't get married, it says somebody who is, it doesn't say ha petsua, the person who is petsua. It says somebody who is, Rashi will help me. If it would have said ha petsua, which it doesn't, if it would say ha petsua, the one who is one of crushed testicles, one of somebody who is like this, then have a mashma ha petsua meikaro. It's as though somebody was born with it. But it doesn't say that. It says petsua, that he was injured, that he was damaged. It sounds, says Rava, that the Torah only prohibits when somebody was born normally and then suffered an injury. That's the only kind of thing that would render the person asur lava bakal. That's one opinion. A braisa gives another reason why a natural bidei shamayim petsua daka is kosher. And he says the following. We have two psukah which are juxtaposed. And I mentioned a minute ago that they're really opposite sides of the same coin. There's petsua daka and there's mamzer. Both have the isser of not coming b'kal Hashem. One pasuk right after the other. The Torah says, lo yavo petsua, and it says, lo yavo mamzer. Just like, how does a mamzer happen? How does a mamzer happen? Mamzers don't just happen naturally. A woman makes a bad choice. They do something that's not a good thing to do. And because of that, a mamzer is created. In other words, there's a human intervention in the creation of a mamzer. Mamzers don't just happen by mistake and act, you know. Mamzers are created by human doing something. So just like the Isser says the Braisa, lo yavo mamzer ma'ala lambi de adam, just like a mamzer is created because somebody did something, that married woman did something with a different, another man that she shouldn't have, Afkan, so too the Isra Petzua Daka, which is the next pasuk, same words, same one pasuk after the other, also is only Bidei Adam. In other words, if you had a machinery accident, that's how the testicles were crushed, then you're Petzua Daka. If you were born with crushed testicles, God forbid, then you're not a Petzua Daka. Fascinating. Bearish, can I ask you a question? The guy is born with crushed testicles. He's born that way. He's totally kosher. Why? He can't have children. You see it. It's a gzeiras hakasuv. There are certain parameters that even though you could have two people, both are equally impotent, equally unable to bear children. One person, when it happened by a machinery accident, he's pasul lava bakal. The other person is born that way, he's mutar lava bakal. I think you see where we're going when it comes to hypospadias, but give me one more minute. Look at what Rashi says. What's bidei shamayim? Because Rashi's going to relate to our question explicitly. Bidei shamayim, says Rashi, ayedei ra'amim. I don't know how thunder could cause somebody's genitalia to be impacted or testicles to be crushed. Maybe it means his genitals were hit by lightning? I have no other explanation for that, those two words. Ubarad, I think we saw this Rashi a week or two ago. Okay, barad, he was hit by a ball of hail, hit him right in the privates, and crushed his body. So that's considered bidei shamayim. If a guy's playing baseball and the batter swings and throws the bat, or the ball hits the pitcher, you know, straight on, and crushes the testicles, God forbid. So that's bidei adam, and he's pasul lakal. But if a ball of hail comes from the heavens and strikes a person in the same spot, that's considered bidei shamayim. He's not pasul. Why is gzeiras hakasuv? Oh, and this is the key line for our question of hypospadias. Oh, mimei imo. If he's born this way, it's natural. If he's born as a petzua daka or a krushafcha, what's an example of somebody who's born a krushafcha? Well, hypospadias, you're born with it. Congenital hypospadias, you're born with it. Right? So if you're born with it, we just solve this shaila. Anybody who's born with any kind of messed up genitalia, like hypospadias, for example, even if he's not able to impregnate a woman, it's a gzeiras hakasuv. Even if you don't fix it, you don't put the chewing gum and pop the or have a surgery to fix the position of the hole. Anybody who's born this way is not in the psul of kris shafcha. And therefore, we just solved any case of congenital birth defects in the male genitalia. He's not going to be, because he's born with it, it's considered bidei shamayim. And the Torah never asked somebody who's a Ptsua Dak or a Kushafcha Bidei Shamayim to come into the call. Yeah? Right? And you're saying, are they going to be able to, are they fertile? Are you saying they're not fertile? Is that what you're saying? Right. Anyone who happens to know that they're not infertile could get married. If for whatever reason, there are lots of reasons people could be infertile. There are a lot of, you know, somebody has a zero sperm count. I had a Talmud, Rahman al-Etzlan, who was married in Washington Heights. Before I was a rabbi here, a Talmud in Washington Heights, in my previous shul. And he's married for a year or two, no children, goes for some testing. And they find that he has a zero sperm count. Not just very low, but zero. Zero. So he's allowed to get married, even if he didn't know till he got married. But even if he knew before he got married, he's allowed to get married. L'chatchila. Here it's a little bit different, doctor, because here we're talking about a specific anatomical deformity that, if it would happen later, does pasul him lava bakal. It happens to be, since its birth, is gzeiras hakasuv that makes him kosher. So that's the touch. Yeah. Okay. Now we have to go to the next stage based on what we just learned. We see that if it happens by a machine, a chainsaw, a knife, God forbid, that makes the person a Ptsua Daka. If it happens because he's born with it, then he's not a Pitzua Daka. What about something in the middle? Like, let's say somebody develops an illness after they're born, they develop some kind of illness. And that illness causes the deformity to their to that part of the body. Dr. Jedwab, is there any, I can't think of any kind of illness that could happen. Again, we're not talking about it being born with it. It's after they're born and they're normal. They have an illness later on in life, not because of an external trauma. Is there any illness that you're familiar with that could cause a person to have some kind of deformity of the Avrei Holada, of the genitalia, that would... Okay. Mumps. Mumps. What do the mumps do? Okay. Now, do they do something that you could see physically to the testicles? Or they just disease the testicles that they mess up the ability to create zera. It messes up the sperm. So I don't know if that would be considered Pitzua Daka because there's no physical change to it. Maybe. Okay, so we'll have to consider maybe mumps. But that's the question that is actually discussed by the Rishonim. Is an illness... Look at my hands for a moment. On one hand, you have a trauma caused by a chainsaw or a knife or a car accident. On the other hand, you have born... with the problem. What about something in the middle where it's an illness that happened? They weren't born with it, but it's an illness that occurred. Is that considered bidei shamayim, or is that considered bidei adam? They weren't born with it, but it wasn't done by a person, or by a baseball bat, by a car accident. So this, well, let's see what Rashi said. You say it should be bidei shamayim. If that's the case, then why didn't Rashi say that? Rashi said crazy things. He was struck by lightning. A hailstone hit him, or he was born with it. Like, why didn't he just say he got some sickness? It's mashma, says the Beis Yosef. It's mashma from Rashi. De'im ira b'choli v'nistares. If, because of some sickness, like the mumps, he becomes infertile, that's not considered b'dei shemayim. That would be considered like b'dei adam, and he'd be puzzled, because Rashi should have said that very obvious case of somebody getting sick, and he didn't say that. V'chein mashma b'Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is also a mashma. D'lokui al decholi, somebody who is sickened by an illness, like, let's say, the mumps, that's chashav b'dei adam, and he will therefore, if somebody would become, according to the way we're reading, according to Rashi, and the Yerushalmi seems to paskin, if somebody gets the mumps, a child gets the mumps, God forbid, and it messes up his genitalia and makes him infertile, that might make him a p'tzua daka, and he's not allowed to get married. That's terrifying. Dr. Jedwab, are there people... Does this happen nowadays? Baruch Hashem. Okay, so thank God we have the vaccines to prevent mumps and prevent these shilas. Okay. That's what we have to figure out right now. That's our avoda right now. Except, look at the Rambam. Look at the Rambam. Aval. The Beis Yosef says, quotes, we'll see the Rambam himself in a minute, quotes, the Fer says, the Beis Yosef, after he told us that Rashi says that an illness is considered bidei adam, and therefore will pass to the person, Aval HaRambam kosav, demachmas choli, heve bidei shamayim v'kosher. The Rambam takes the other side of the coin, argues on Rashi. The Rambam says that if it happens, if a person gets an illness, like the mumps, that's an act of God. That's an act of God. There's no trauma, there's no car accident, there's no baseball bat that was thrown or baseball that was, you know, hit into the pitcher's, you know, genitalia. It happened, it's an act of God. They just became sick. They got the mumps. That's considered bidei shamayim, the Rambam says, not like Rashi. And therefore, he'll be kosher. So what we have here is a gigantic machlokas, Rambam and Rashi, whether or not somebody who gets the mumps, if this is considered the type of thing that will make a kroshavcha, a p'tzua daka, and becomes sterile, is he allowed to get married? Machlokas Rashi and Rambam. This is going to be an important machlokas. Let's just see the Rambam and see how he phrases his halacha, and we'll see where how he articulates himself. The Rambam says, this is the Rambam again in Yisurei Bia, Perek Tezayin. Kol pasul she'amarnu binyan zeh. Whenever we talk about the psulim of kris shafcha, pitzua daka, kishelo hayu b'dei shamayim. That's only when it was not natural. Kagon, for example, what are the examples of things that make a person, you know, off limits? Shekarsa adam, a person cut it off with a chainsaw, with a knife. Okelev, a person got bitten. God forbid, they got an animal bit a part of their body off. Ohiko kotz, right? Like we talk, let's say a thorn punctured their shaft and got made a hole into the urethra. V'chayotzi b'dvar meil, and any other man-made or getting hit from the outside, some trauma, I should say. That's the best word, a trauma. Aval im, look at the three parameters that the Rambam offers. Nolad kros shafcha p'tzua daka. Oh no, shenolad v'lo beitzim. A person is born, you know, with this bad hypospadias or crust testicles or without testicles. Dr. Jedwab, is there such a thing as somebody born without testicles, or do we assume they're all there, they just might be undescended? Okay, fine, that sounds more complicated than I was hoping for. Okay. Oh, shechola machmas gufo. You see what the Rambam just added? That what? That they didn't have, or they were undescended? Wow. Okay, so that's exactly this line of the Rambam, that his shenolad below beitzim, that would be considered... Did the doctor say it right? Is that he won't be able to get married, or he won't be able to bear children? Correct. He could get married, because that's considered b'dei shamayim, and therefore he is mutu lava b'kahol. He is a p'tzua daka. He's missing... not having testicles is worse than crushing the testicles that are crushed. So it's as though he's a p'tzua daka, but he's a p'tzua daka b'dei shamayim, and therefore he's kasher lava b'kahol. He can get married, although he won't be able to bear children. And this is the punchline. The Rambam adds, "O shechola machmas gufo," he got sick on his own. The Rambam considers this to be also bidei shemaim, against possibly what Rashi holds. you're getting me into politics, Pierce. That's not fair. You know I don't talk politics. I think that would be b'dei shamayim, but that's purely for halacha, but I think everybody should get vaccines. No. Okay, so the refusal of doing something doesn't make it man-made. Okay, but I agree, everybody should take the mump vaccines and whatever other vaccines doctors suggest they take. Fine. So look at the Lashon of the Rambam. I'm wondering the same question as you, Benny. Look at what he says. He says, Shala chala machmas gufa ubatlu mimeno evarim elu. And they were batel. What does it mean that they were batel? Look at the next one. Look at the next line of the Rambam. Shenolad behen shchin. Maybe he means mumps. Dr. Jedwab, shchin. Are they like, do they appear as like boils on the outside? Does it look like pimples? Shchin, does it look like that on the outside? Or am I not knowing what mumps are? What does a mump look like? Is there a mump? Are mumps visibly, do they look like? Oh. Okay, so I guess, is there a physical? Okay, I don't know. So says the Rambam in this second line where he's describing a certain type of illness. Nolad behen shchin. They get shchin. He gets shchin. Whatever shchin is, you know, in the genitalia. Vehemasa osan. And they liquefy. Is there any disease, Dr. Jedwab, that you're familiar with that the testicles will sort of degenerate, liquefy, an infection that will just... Infection. Okay, this would be it. So, Benny, this would be the answer. it's not just a magical that it's now that they become sterilized, something happened to them and they no longer produce the zera, it's that they could actually atrophy and through an infection. So that could be. That would be exactly this. So according to Rashi, that's called bidei adam, and they'd be puzzled. According to the Rambam, that's called bidei shamayim, and they'd kush or lava bakal. That's a twist, right? If there is a twist. So the cut off blood supply will cause the testicles to atrophy and ultimately become sterile. Okay, so how do we pass into this machlokas? This is an important machlokas. All these situations that we've described where there are illnesses. Oh, the twist, the torsion is born that way? Oh. So it's not a torsion that happened after birth that something twisted him. It's that... Sorry? It happens after birth, so then it's bidei... So what do you... Oh, so you're asking a more complicated shaila. You're saying, what happens if their testicles are set up, are built, are born with a little bit of a off-kilter, and because of that off-kilter, something happens afterwards, they're more prone to something happen afterwards. That's more complicated, because they're not up to a daka bidei shamayim, but they're bidei shamayim, they're set up to be more prone to become a p'tzua daka. So that I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the halacha will. That's already a complicated case. That's... Well, but maybe bidei shem. It could be. I hear. I don't know. I hear. Okay. But the genetic hypospadia is that when he's born, he's already to a daka the moment he comes out of his mother. He's not able to be, you know, to impregnate his wife. The second this 1 day old baby is already up to a daka. What you're describing is, he's born with a little bit, it's a little off kilter, and then a few years later, it gets twisted and dies or it atrophies. But that has happened later. I don't know if that would be considered mimei imo. That's what I'm wondering. I don't know, because there it happened later, not from birth. So okay, we'll leave that as a question mark. I hear that's more a complicated case. Oh, so let's see, Rabosa, we had a machlokas. Uh-huh. You're saying when it happens, nothing happens to him, it just naturally will develop? Or something happens to the aver that causes it to twist more? Uh-huh. But was there a... Uh-huh. And a twist by itself, or somebody twisted it? A twist by itself. Uh-huh. Okay, so maybe if it's twisting by itself, then maybe that would be bidei shamayim. I hear that. Okay. Let's come full circle and see how we pass in all these shailas. Now we got to the Shulchan Aruch again. We skipped a few seif and we'll come back to them next week, but I want to finish up for today coming into the Shulchan Aruch and getting to the Psak Halacha. Ko pisul sham rebinyan zeh. All these psulim of Tzuadaka and Kris Shafcha, we're putting them together. Even though they're two isurim, we're putting them together. That's only kishel lo hayu bidei shamayim, when they're not natural. When they're, I'll use the word, they come from trauma. Kagod. Shakar so adam, a person cut them with a knife or a saw. Oh, he coat, so they were hit by a thorn. Kayotu b'dvar me'elu, aval. If he was born up to a daka or without testicles, well, or a hypospadias, he's totally kosher. We see the congenital hypospadias, congenital in the sense of born with it, is totally kosher l'kahal. Baruch Hashem, we solved that problem. And look what the Shulchan Aruch holds in the next two lines. Who does he paskin like? He says, or somebody got sick, and his genitalia were affected by mumps or infection or whatever else happened. The sickness is also considered b'dei shamayim. He is paskin like the Rambam, right? continues the Shulchan Harizah, kol shalava bekal shekol elu bidei shamayim, even sicknesses are considered bidei shamayim and they are allowed to marry? That's the opinion of the Rambam. Uh-oh, continues the Shulchan Aruch, and says, another opinion. I thought the Shulchan Aruch was going to paskin l'haka like the Rambam. But now that I'm reading the next line, it sounds like he's bringing in the next shita, the shita of the Rashi, who's machmir, and says that an illness is considered bideh, is not considered bideh shemayim, because an illness is considered bideh adam, and will render a person pasul. Ula Rashi v'arash lo mikre bideh shemayim, el al yedei, those very unusual examples, ra'amim, lightning, barad, mimei, imo, aval, al yedei choli. This is the very severe psak of the Rashi that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting. Al yedei choli, chashuv bideh adam, v'pasul. And not only that, but that's what's mashman Yerushalmi. Oyvei. So what do? I have a kid, and not a kid, a kid that gets the mumps. An adult gets an infection. And something, that they get sick, and because of their infection, because of something that they have once they're already born, not because of any trauma, they get some kind of illness, and the urologist says, yeah, it's all, the testicles are atrophied, and he's not going to be able to have kids. So, machlokas, Rabban Rashi, is he allowed to get married or not? Says the Chalkas Mechokech, the Shulchan Aruch, by saying, V'hachi mashma b'Yerushalmi, when the Shulchan Aruch concludes, quotes an opinion, says, and that's what the Yerushalmi says, it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is saying, that's how we should paskin. Oyvei, that's a chumrah. V'hachi mashma b'Yerushalmi, says the Chalkas Mechokech, mashma, it's mashma from the last words of the Shulchan Aruch that he says, this is what the Yerushalmi says, V'hachi naktinon l'chumrah, that the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. That the Shulchan Aruch, by quoting two opinions, and on the Chumrah, opinion of Rashi says, and that's what the Yerushalmi says, it must be that he's being machmir, the Shulchan Aruch is being machmir, and considering somebody who falls ill, gets an infection, God forbid, and his testicles atrophy, will be pasul. Uh-oh, the Shulchan Aruch was just machmir. Aval concludes the Chalkas Mechokik. Babach Kasav, the Svaras HaRosh, this last opinion that I just quoted, like the Yerushalmi, is Das Yachid. Sras Yachid, we shouldn't follow it. And similarly, the Beis Shmuel says, if you look and find there's a Rashi in Yevamos somewhere else who says the opposite of the Rashi that we just said, and the Smag likes the Rambam, and the Bach passes like the Rambam, therefore the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkas Mechokik both seem to be makel against the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, and both come out assuming that an illness will be considered bidei shamayim and therefore kosher. I'm going to do one more line, and then we'll stop. We're going to talk about surgery or medical interventions that cause a person to become a psuadaka next week. That's going to be what happens if a doctor, because of cancer, testicular cancer, has to remove or cut apart the beitzim. Is that considered natural because it's a reaction to a natural illness? On the other hand, is it considered a trauma because the doctor did it, he cut it? That's going to be next week. But let's just finish with this point. A shaila. The shaila, what happened here? Okay, we'll leave this shaila for next week, Bez Hashem. Next week we're going to talk about medical interventions, not medical interventions to fix a krus shafcha or psodaka, but medical interventions that to save the life make the person unable to bear children. Again, if a person, God forbid, has testicular cancer, and the surgeon says, oncologist surgeon says, I'm going to take out your beitzim, I'm going to save your life, right? But now he took out the beitzim, is that going to make the person unable to get married? Or if he's married, does he have to leave his wife? That, Bez Hashem, will be for next week.